Please turn with me now in your copy of God's Word to the book of Romans, chapter 16. We will consider verses 1 and 2 of chapter 16 this evening. Hear now the word of the Lord. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of. For indeed, she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. Let's pray. Our Lord, your word is truth, and you are a refuge to all who seek you. Grant, O Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth, that we would be ready to receive it. I beg your blessing upon the preaching of your word, that you would purify the mouth of the preacher, and that you would open all of our ears to hear, that again we hearing would believe, and that believing we would be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage, we are introduced to a woman named Phoebe, whom Paul commends to the church in Rome. And from this passage, we learn that those who serve Christ by serving his people are worthy of commendation. Those who serve Christ by serving his people are worthy of commendation. The word commend means to represent as worthy, worthy of notice, regard, or kindness. It means to speak in favor of someone, to recommend. And in this case, the apostle is speaking in favor of Phoebe, recommending her to the church at Rome. In his commendation of this woman named Phoebe, he makes two requests and gives three reasons. So those will be our points this evening: the apostle's requests and his reasons. We'll look first at his requests. He mentions this woman named Phoebe, and we can learn several things about her from what's said of her in this passage. Mind you, she is not mentioned anywhere else in the scriptures, so we only have a little bit to go on. Her name, Phoebe, is a Greek name. It is after the moon goddess. This leads some to say that Phoebe must have been a Gentile convert to Christianity. That's possible. However, you must understand that after the time of Alexander the Great and the Hellenization of the entire world, even many Jews had Greek names. Let me give you one example. You remember Apollos, a certain Jew from Alexandria. Well, he is named after the Greek god Apollo, yet he was a Jew and a believer who had a Greek-sounding name. So we know her name is Phoebe. We do not know whether she was Jewish or Gentile. We do know this about her, though. She is, Paul says, our sister. Now, in being called our sister, we know a few things about her. Number one, she is a her. She's a sister. She's female, as is fitting with the name Phoebe. But we also know that she's a Christian. And notice that Paul doesn't just say his sister or my sister, but our sister. She is the spiritual sibling of those Roman Christians whom she has not yet even met. Paul is just now introducing her to them, and he says, our sister. Jesus said this: inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Jesus is describing the spiritual family or fellowship shared amongst all believers. Every child of God belongs to the household of God and is a sibling to all the other children of God. Therefore, we can receive a Christian from even a different part in the world because they are our spiritual siblings. So Phoebe was a sister to those in Rome, and indeed she is a sister even to you and me. We see also she is a servant. She is, here in verse 1, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. We'll look more at what her service was in just a little bit. Let's look at the place Cenchrea. Now, recall that Paul is in Corinth writing this epistle to the Romans. And Corinth is an isthmus, right? It's got sea on both sides and land in the middle in the region or country of Greece. Now, on either side of the city of Corinth, there were harbors or seaports. One of them that went to the west that would sail to Rome, and then one of them on the east that would sail to Asia. Well, Cenchrea is that seaport just a couple of miles away from Corinth that sails towards Asia. It's mentioned, by the way, in Acts chapter 18, and Paul stopped by there to get a haircut one time. Apparently, he had been under a vow, probably most likely a Nazirite vow, and having completed that vow, he went and shaved his head. You can read about that in Acts chapter 18, verse 18, and you can read about the Nazirite vow in Numbers chapter 6, but we'll press on for the time being. But by the time that Paul made his third visit to the city of Corinth, it appears that there was now a Christian church in Cenchrea, which is where Phoebe was from. Which makes sense. It was only a few miles away, and anyone who is traveling in or out of Corinth on the eastern side would have to come through Cenchrea. Now, in addition to being a servant, Phoebe is also called in this passage a helper. In fact, Paul says that she is a helper to many and indeed to himself. We will look more at her help in a little while. Now, we note also in this passage that Phoebe had some business or matters to attend to in Rome. We don't know the exact nature of her business in Rome. She may have had some personal business there. It's possible her being from the city of Cenchrea, being from that seaport, had some important business in Rome, or being a part of the Roman Empire. Perhaps she had some legal matters to attend to. It may have been personal business, or she may have had some other matters for the Apostle Paul. Paul may have sent her with some things to do. But one thing that is universally assumed is that Phoebe probably carried the epistle from Paul to the church at Rome. In fact, some manuscripts of the epistle to the Romans say that this letter was carried by the hand of Phoebe. Well, I don't think we need to rely upon that. It just makes sense that Paul mentions Phoebe for apparently no reason and then does not mention anyone carrying this letter. He might have said, "Greet so-and-so if so-and-so were carrying the letter." It makes good sense to assume that Phoebe was indeed, whether for the sole purpose of bringing the letter or she was already going there for her own business, and Paul sent her the letter. Now, some stretch this beyond what is reasonable, and they say that means Phoebe went to the church at Rome and read and interpreted this letter for them. Obviously, that would have not been fitting, and Paul never would have put her up to that task. Nevertheless, she appears to have had an important job of bringing the letter to them, and Paul commends her to the Romans. Now, he makes two requests of them, having introduced her. He says, first of all, receive her. Receive her. Now, to receive her is to take her to themselves, to welcome her, to give her a hearty Christian welcome. It's as if Paul is handing Phoebe off from himself and his fellowship to theirs. Roman church, I want you to meet Phoebe. I commend her. Receive her. He says this reception should be in the Lord. This speaks to the motivation for their reception of her. You see, she is a sister and a servant of the church. Therefore, she is to be received in the Lord. Another way to say this is to be received in Jesus' name, right? To be received as a Christian. Christ spoke of this, about those, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Do you understand that? That to receive a Christian for Christ's sake is to receive Christ. And it's still the same for us today. When we receive Christians because we love Jesus Christ, we are receiving Christ. And that's what Paul is asking them to do, to receive Phoebe in the Lord. Receive her as you would receive Jesus Christ because she is one of Christ's little ones. Now, he speaks of the manner in which this should be done, and he says, worthy of the saints. Receive her in a manner worthy of the saints. This could be taken one of two ways. It could either be saying, those who receive her should receive her in a manner that is befitting of saints. In other words, your Christians act like it, right? Or it could be saying, receive her in a manner that's worthy of saints, meaning Phoebe's a saint, therefore give her all the regard and kindness that you would give to a saint. I think both of those can be true, but the main point is that there is a fitting way for Christians to regard and receive one another, and that is as saints, as those set apart by God, called out of the world, washed by the blood of Christ, and made a part of God's heavenly family. So he says, receive her. The second thing he says is to assist her. He says, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. Again, we don't know all of the business she might have had in Rome, but Paul said, basically help her with whatever she needs. Now, there's a few obvious things with which Phoebe would have needed assistance. First of all, she is a stranger to the city of Rome. She's an outsider. She was known in Cenchrea, and she was known to Paul, but she was unknown in Rome. She would need welcome. She would need hospitality. She might even need assistance like a local guide to help her navigate the city of Rome. It is unwise, and Proverbs talks about this, to simply receive every stranger. There are times when you have to beware of strangers. And in fact, the book of Proverbs warns about strange women in particular. And so in the ancient world, if someone is traveling and they're not known by the people who are receiving them, it's very helpful to have a letter of commendation. If Paul can vouch for her, then the Roman church can be at liberty to receive her and assist her. A second reason that she would probably need some assistance is that she was a woman. As a woman traveling alone, she would be particularly vulnerable. She may have been a widow, or maybe even a single woman. And these things would make her particularly vulnerable in a strange city. Third, as a Christian, Phoebe would need Christian fellowship and Christian worship when she was in Rome. She would need to interact with other Christians and be built up and edified and fellowship with them. She would need a place to worship on the Lord's Day. She would need perhaps guidance in the local customs and the culture of Rome. There were times in which, whether by unbelieving Jews or by the other pagans, Christians were not always treated well. So she, being a Christian, would particularly need assistance in Rome. All right, so those are the two things that Paul asks of them to do to receive her and assist her. Now let's look at the reasons. Why does he commend Phoebe to them? Well, there are three of them. She's a sister, she's a servant, and she's a supporter. A sister, a servant, and a supporter. First of all, she's a sister. We already saw that. She is our sister, says Paul. And it was Jesus who said, whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. You see, in calling Phoebe our sister, Paul is saying that she's a Christian. She's a believer, a member of the household of God, a spiritual sibling. And as such, she is worthy of some commendation. Proverbs says that a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. And do you see that in some measure? That's what Paul is doing. He knows that Phoebe, because of her service, because of her help, he knows she fears the Lord. And so he's praising her to the Roman church. He's giving her commendation. She is worthy of your notice and regard and kindness. In addition to being a sister, Phoebe is also a servant of the church. Those who serve well, says Scripture, are worthy of double honor. Now, she is said to be a servant of the church in Cenchrea. Some have observed, and rightly so, that the word here, diakonon, from diakonos, is also translated in other places as deacon. They further note that Phoebe is not merely just a diakonon, but she is the diakonon of a specific church. From this, they reason that Phoebe must have been a deacon, or, as some would say, a deaconess. I can give you an example of this. In their position paper called Women and Ministry, Redeemer Presbyterian Church, Kathy Keller and her late husband, Tim Keller, assert that in the Bible, women were deaconesses. In proof of this assertion, they cite Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. This meant, continuing, this meant that they were ministry leaders initiating and supervising ministries. On the basis of what we're reading here in Romans chapter 16, 1 and 2, the practice at Redeemer was, quote, the deaconesses will be women elected by the congregation who will do discipling, counseling, and shepherding in the church. Elders, deacons, and deaconesses will meet regularly for strategy and oversight of the church. In matters of discipline and doctrine, the elders have the final say. They have the, quote, tie-breaking authority. Also, the elders represent the church at denominational meetings. But deaconesses will sit in positions of influence and will have regular part, along with many women on the program committees, into the strategizing and decision-making process of the church. Thus, Kathy and Tim Keller. I just want to point out that I can scarcely make it through a presbytery meeting or a general assembly meeting without hearing at least a few shaky voices remind us that Phoebe was a deacon. What do we say to this? Is it true that Phoebe was a deacon or a deaconess? Well, she is in fact called diaconon. It does not follow from that, however, that Phoebe was ordained to the office of deacon or deaconess. The term that we translate here in this passage as servant or deacon in other places happens to appear 29 other times in the New Testament. Outside of this passage, only two of those 29 times refer to the office of deacon. They are one of them we read, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and the other is Philippians chapter 1. The rest of them, so 27 of them, all refer to someone who does some kind of service. Let me give you two typical examples. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, Jesus says this, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant, diakonos. Okay, that word servant there is just, whoever wants to be great, let him serve. In John chapter 2, at the wedding in Cana, when Mary realized that the wine was low, she said to the servants, diakonos, whatever Jesus says to you, do it. So in this instance, the deacons or servants were the people who were pouring the wine. Now we could multiply examples, but I just want you to know that the basic meaning of the word is someone who serves. It can be someone who waits on tables. It can be someone who serves in all variety of things. In the New Testament, in fact, Christ, the apostles, pastors, elders, deacons, and indeed all Christians are at some points referred to as diakonos, servants. Now, sometimes the word has a special, technical meaning. So get this straight. The word itself just means one who serves, a servant, in whatever capacity. In fact, if we go back just a couple of chapters in Romans, we understand that the civil magistrate is called the diakonos. So did you guys know Donald Trump is a deacon? No, the civil magistrate is called a servant because he serves in the commonwealth. Do you see? So the basic meaning of the word is servant, but sometimes that word is then given a special meaning in reference to an office we call deacon. We have other examples of this in our own language. Think of the word elder. The word elder basically means someone who's older. An elder can refer to someone who's older than you. It could refer to your ancestor. It could refer to those who are influential in a community, like village elders or city elders. And of course, like here in the Presbyterian Church, it can refer to an officer who is tasked with oversight in the church. Same word, different meaning. You have a basic meaning, someone who's older, and then a specialized meaning that refers to a particular office. So we can't just say, well, there's the word deacon. Therefore, Phoebe had to be a deacon. Instead, we must determine which usage of that word is intended here. Was Phoebe a servant like all of us? Or was she specifically a deacon or deaconess? I hope to demonstrate to you exactly how we should answer that question. But before we proceed, let me ask you this. Would Phoebe's service in the church be less commendable if she didn't hold any office? Would she be a more worthy saint because she had a title? Is it the office or the title that makes her service worthy? Or is it the service that makes it worthy? Is Phoebe less if she's not a deacon? Is it greater in the kingdom of God to be a deacon than to be a servant in the church? I'll let you think on that and let's move on. The word diakon in verse 1 either means servant or deacon. Those are the two basic options, all right? But whereas all Christians can be servants, only men can be deacons. Therefore, Phoebe, being a woman, can be a servant, but she cannot be a deacon. Let me briefly prove to you that only men can be deacons. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says this, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. The apostle then goes on from that to argue from the facts of creation and the fall why that is. But in this connection, we only need to ask, do deacons exercise authority? I want you to think back just a few moments from what we read from the Kellers. Did that sound like an exercise of authority to you? It did to me. In fact, if you consider what the deacons do in our own church, devising means of collecting the offering, deciding where that money goes, having care of the property, that's exercising authority. So it would seem to me, on the basis of 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, a female deacon, at the very least, would be illegitimately exercising authority over men, if there were, of course, men in the church. Secondly, we move just a little bit farther to what we read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and Paul says this, let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. I've met a lot of very capable women. I've never met a woman who could be the husband of one wife. But there's more. Pay attention to the second half of verse 12. Ruling their children and their own houses well. That sounds familiar. If we go up a few verses in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see that it's used in reference to the elders. Elders must be one who rules his own house well and has his children in submission with all reverence. And then Paul provides a reason. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church? Do you see his argument? He's saying that a man has to rule well in his own house in order to rule in the church. Right? If he can't exercise authority appropriately in his house, how is he going to do it in the church? So then when he again mentions this in connections to deacons, why is he putting upon them the stricture of ruling their own house well unless it is assumed that they exercise authority in the church? The office of deacon is indeed one of authority, and on the basis of what we've read in 1 Timothy, women being prohibited from exercising authority over men are excluded from the office of deacon. There are other arguments that we could pursue, but I think this is sufficient to show us that Phoebe was a servant of the church at Cenchrea, not a deaconess, unless we want to say that the Apostle Paul has hopelessly contradicted himself in the space of two books. So then, Phoebe was a servant of the church of Cenchrea, and that is no less noteworthy than if she had been a deacon, because it is not the office that makes one worthy of commendation, but rather their service. So Phoebe is a servant there, and we'll move on now to her support. We see that she is recommended, number one, because she's a sister, number two, because she's a servant, and now number three, because she's a supporter. Phoebe was especially worthy of reception and help because she was herself a helper. Now, we're accustomed to thinking that we have to receive and help everyone. And as much as we can, we should always extend Christian charity. But in real life, with limited resources, we must privilege and prioritize our assistance. Consider this, Paul writing about widows, again from 1 Timothy, this time from chapter 5. He says, "Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number." Now, the number refers to those who received help from the church, okay? It says, don't let them under 60-year-old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, is well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Do you see how some widows are more worthy of assistance than others? And it's not that we would neglect other widows, but sometimes we must prioritize paying back those widows who are known for their good works. This is a basic principle of justice. Those who serve well are worthy of commendation. Those who gain a reputation of helping others are especially worthy of receiving help. Now, before we press on with Phoebe and her help, let's consider for a moment from this text the kind of service and help that Phoebe would have rendered. Well, we considered what it is that Phoebe would need when she gets to Rome. Now, how might that relate to the help that Paul is asking the Romans to give her? The help that she may have rendered. In other words, Phoebe's going to need hospitality. She's going to need welcome. She's going to need assistance and guide in the local customs. And she may need a place to sleep, all of these kinds of things. It would seem to me those are probably areas in which Phoebe excelled in Cenchrea. When the Apostle Paul traveled through there, maybe he could stop by there and she could supply him. Maybe she gave money. Maybe she gave him a place to rest. Maybe she, you know, let them meet in her house. She showed Christian hospitality. Now, Paul could commend Phoebe because he knew that she was a helper. In fact, she helped many, he says, including himself. Now, Phoebe was not a deacon or a deaconess, but she was a patroness. That's a little literal meaning of the word here for helper. She was one from her own substance who supported others. You know, we know what a patron is, right? So-and-so is a patron of the arts, meaning they volunteer or give money in order to support the arts. Phoebe was one who volunteered and perhaps gave of her own substance to promote the gospel. She supported the work of the church. We don't know all of the details, but very likely from her own substance, much like Mary and Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod Stewart and Susanna, and many others who provided, deaconed for Jesus from their own substance. There are a number of women in Scripture, and I just want to point to a few. We saw the Shunammite woman who gave hospitality to Elisha, but before him there was the widow of Zarephath who fed Elijah during the famine. Then, of course, there's the widow in the Gospels who put her two mites into the treasury. We'll come back to her a little later. Then there's a woman named Dorcas, or Tabitha, who made cloths, made garments for people. And then, of course, Lydia in Acts chapter 16, who opened her house to the apostles and to the other saints. You see, Scripture is filled with all kinds of examples of people who were helpers, patrons and patronesses, people who used their own time and talents and their own money to support the work of the gospel. We see this all the time in our church today. We have women who organize things, organize and prepare meals for those who are sick or those who have just had babies. We have people who organize and participate in the nursery, people who babysit or take your kids while you need a break, women who will volunteer to clean your house or help you with things around the house. Women who put on and participate in fellowship meals and picnics. Women who visit the elderly, the sick, new mothers. Women who stand behind the welcome desk and welcome visitors. Women who bring in coffee and donuts, make phone calls, send you a text or an email. You see, the worth of the saints is visible in their work, right? In their service, not in their offices or titles. Women in our church participate in various committees. And even as I stand here and say these things, you no doubt can think of dozens of more examples. Well, that's the kind of woman Phoebe was. Whatever it was she did, she was a patroness. She was a helper. She served in her church. She was known for those things. And Phoebe was commended because she was a sister who served and supported the church. A couple of things to close here. Because those who serve Christ by serving his people are worthy of commendation, let us try to take care to commend those who serve the church, right? Put in a good word for them, praise them in season, make notice of it. We'll miss it sometimes. But remember that those who serve well are worthy of acknowledgement. You know, this is something I've confessed to some of you men, that particularly early in my marriage, I didn't give my wife a lot of compliments. I didn't take notice of. I was grateful for the things she did, but I didn't point it out, right? I didn't commend her for it. Well, as Scripture says, and we read it earlier, a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. That's a command, right? And I'm not talking about flattery, and you don't have to be a poet. You don't have to work for Hallmark. Ladies, be sympathetic. But husbands, you can take notice of your wife's service, and when it's commendable, say something about it. Maybe even say it in front of some other people so that she will be regarded well by them. But we should all try to do this with one another, and we don't have to, you know, blow trumpets and bang gongs and make a big deal out of it all the time, but just know that in God's estimation, those who serve well are worthy of commendation. Likewise, let us be ready to receive and assist other saints, but particularly those who come with the reputation of being servants and helpers. Right? Those who are commendable, those who have worthy service, let us even more extend to them a worthy reception and assistance. Finally, let each of us strive with God's help that we would be worthy of commendation, right? That our service would be worthy of commendation. But let me offer a little warning on that one. Sometimes our service, though worthy it may be, can go unrecognized. It may not ever on this earth be noticed. You may labor long and hard and be overlooked or even criticized. But don't let that be the final word on the matter. Consider again that widow who put the two mites into the temple treasury. No one on earth had any idea of what she was doing. No one would. There's this old woman putting in a penny. But Jesus saw her. And he said, "This poor widow has put in more than all." Jesus saw her. Jesus always sees. And he has